Hey guys, welcome back to the MedTech Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to be joined with Dr. Avnish Khara. Some of you might remember him from the very first episode of the MedTech Podcast. Avnish, it's great to have you back on this episode. You were my very first guest, and I still remember us making the initial Notion page together where we were planning the first episode, both of us extremely nervous. So it's my honor to have you back on this podcast. Avnish, please introduce yourself again.
Hi, Ish. Thank you for inviting me again to your podcast. I really congratulate you for making such a great podcast, and you are regular in your episodes and I follow each one of them. And that's a great value add to people who want to get involved in medical technology. So basically, I am a doctor. I am a physician turned medical technology consultant and educator from India. I have experience of 10 years in anesthesiology, critical care and pain management. And post-COVID, I switched career to do more in medical technology, and I got attached to Bionabu, and I am a mentor and educator on Bionabu as well. So that's about me, and really excited to be on this podcast for this really special episode, which is related to AI in healthcare and one of the burning topics which people are talking about.
Yeah, definitely. The first episode we did was all about obviously introduction to AI in healthcare. ChatGPT had just come out at that point, and so now it's taken the world by storm. Google have recently just announced their MedPalm 2 in their keynote speech talk for 2023. Since that time, Microsoft have also invested in OpenAI. There's so many different things have gone on, and since the first initial episode, it was only 18 weeks ago, it's crazy how fast evolving this AI landscape is and the amount of different AI tools that have come about. And so I think the premise of this episode today is the fact that I recently recorded an episode with the CEO of Osmosis, Shiv Gogglani, and it was a fascinating episode just about the future of AI and specifically medical education. So Osmosis is a huge medical education platform with over 3 million users worldwide. They are completely changing the way medical students learn medical school content. And Shiv was talking a little bit about the introduction of AI in medicine and specifically medical education. And it made me think, you know what, there's no formal education. A lot of med students just don't know how to effectively prompt AI tools like ChatGPT to get a response that's actually useful for them. So I thought, what better opportunity to bring you back on the podcast, Avnish, so we can have a whole AI prompting masterclass for the listeners. How does that sound?
Yeah, that's really exciting. Even I have been to a few conferences, and most of the questions from the audience are related to ChatGPT and how we can use it to increase our efficiency and save time for us. But there are a lot of nuances to it. And like the more you use it, the more information you are able to derive from your prompts. So this is a very important topic, because these generative AI tools are going to be coming out not more than before. And although more tools are coming, but the basics of prompting remain like same. So we have to learn the basics and then we have to modify as we go. We'll be discussing some basics today, and then I would encourage the listeners to go back and then try to open ChatGPT. And if you have not created an account, then just sign up and start using it. And believe me, the more you use it, the better you will be on these tools.
Yeah, definitely. And Avnish, before we get into this episode, just tell me a little bit about what's been new with you. I know you said at the start, I've been really busy with obviously this podcast, but equally you have been busy as well. You're doing so many different things around AI and healthcare. You're really much a pioneer, an amazing thought leader to follow. So anyone listening who's interested in the intersection of AI, technology and healthcare, definitely make sure you follow Avnish on LinkedIn. He creates some fascinating posts and insights. So Avnish, what's been new since 18 weeks ago?
Yeah, so a lot of things have changed, Ash, and a few big things have happened. So one of them is the NAMS AI task force that has collaborated with the Government of India, Ministry of Health, and we have come out with a report which gives recommendations for India making a leap in AI in healthcare. So there are some short-term recommendations like building proper infrastructure, to some medium-term recommendations like promoting public-private partnership, and then long-term recommendations like increasing the funding opportunities for startups and building a whole ecosystem, along with education for all the stakeholders involved. So that was a very exciting project. I was fortunate enough to be a part of the 14-member team, and I got to learn a lot from people around me. And after submitting the report, we have got a good response, and people have also given good feedback. Then one of the other things which happened was I was a part of the panel discussion on AI in healthcare at one of the G20 meetings. So India is presiding over the G20 this year, and it's a huge event for all of us. And there I was able to share my thoughts on AI in healthcare. And we had a lot of it was a very interactive session. And people asked a lot of questions around ChatGPT and how AI can be used in healthcare. And one of the very good things about it was that there were a lot of medical students. And I saw a lot of enthusiasm among the new generation of medical students about AI in healthcare. And equally, experienced doctors were also asking me a lot of questions about AI. In all, it was very encouraging, and I see a very good future for things developing in healthcare as well, along with other industries.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, you seem to be doing so much, and I'm just honestly so happy for you, because I remember when you first initially started off as a mentor and started your AI masterclasses. I've seen the progression of your journey, start initially setting up your first ever initial AI masterclass on BNRBU, and now to now the point where you have multiple different modules and you're doing so many different things in the space. It's just amazing to see. And yeah, big congratulations to you. And I think to begin with, there'll probably be some people, some medical students or doctors out there who are firstly just wondering, why do they need to know how to prompt an AI efficiently? What's the point? What benefit would there be for them to understand how to effectively prompt an AI tool like ChatGPT? So what would you say to them, Avnish?
So see, these tools are becoming more and more common with each passing day, and they are going to impact all industries, including healthcare. And if we have such tools coming up, then why we should be left behind? That is the first thing. So that is why learning prompting is very important, because if you don't know the art of prompting, then you cannot use these tools effectively. Because what happens is, as we know, that garbage in is garbage out. So whatever you input into the generative AI tool, whatever prompt you input, by the prompt we mean that you give instructions to the generative AI to give you a specific outcome. So if you are not clear and specific enough in your communication, then it is very difficult to obtain accurate and relevant responses. So that is why you should know the art of prompting an AI, because what happens is sometimes people start using ChatGPT and then after 1 or 2 days, they say that it's no use for me. I cannot get the response I want. So that doesn't mean the tool is not efficient enough. It means that your art of asking the right questions is not good enough. So you need to work on that, and that can be done by learning the art of prompting. Also, it helps in maximizing the value of these tools like ChatGPT, because if you are not using them properly, then they don't add much value to your workflow. And last point is that if we know the art of prompting, then that ensures the ethical and responsible use of AI, because we as healthcare professionals, we should be very much concerned about ethics and patient data privacy and all. So if you know the art of prompting, what you have to write, what you don't have to write in the prompt, then that helps you in using the tool in an ethical and proper way. So these are the reasons why I think each healthcare professional should know about prompting AI.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with you, actually. It's so frustrating for me, honestly, when I'm chatting to my medical school peers and I'll be explaining them. I've said this multiple times on the podcast. I'm pretty much repeating myself at this point, but the reason I'm repeating myself is because of how strongly I feel about it. It's so frustrating when I have students that come up to me and say, oh, I use ChatGPT to do X, Y, and Z. Maybe let's say write a reflective essay for them that they need to submit for a module. And they'll tell me that it just gave them such a rubbish crap response and that they decided that they're not going to use ChatGPT. And I'm just like shaking them, saying the reason it gave a bad response is because you gave it a bad prompt. And this is huge. And this is something I've spoken to the Nottingham Dean of Medical School about, providing some official formal training about how to prompt AIs. Because as I've said previously, students specifically in medicine who know how to prompt an AI effectively will be running laps around students that don't. And that is just within any industry, not specifically medical education. Someone who knows how to prompt an AI properly and get the best out of an AI tool like ChatGPT is going to be so much far more competitive than someone that doesn't. So it's really extremely valuable that everyone understands how to prompt an AI properly. And so in this episode, we're just going to break down top tips and tricks that we've learned through our own experience of prompting AIs. And I'm excited to get into this because obviously you being an AI expert, Avnish, I'm excited to pick your brain a little bit, see what works for you and actually integrate it into my own workflow. Yeah, so to begin with, what would you say, where would we begin in this conversation actually? So the basics of AI prompting, how would you like to begin this conversation, Avnish?
So maybe we can discuss a bit more about some common misconceptions around tools like ChatGPT. And then we can go on to what is a prompt and how to design it and how to improve it. I think that would be a good way to go about this. What are your thoughts? Yeah.
No, for sure. I think you being the expert, I'm used to pretty much guiding the conversation with most of my guests now. But I think for this episode, I wanted it specifically to be a conversation, and I wanted you to actually guide this conversation and take it in the direction that you think would be most valuable for the listener. So yeah, let's start off with some common misconceptions then about AI tools like ChatGPT.
I have been talking to a lot of health professionals, and I came to realize that there are a lot of misconceptions around these tools because they are new and they are something that we are not used to. And we have our own concepts about AI and how it functions and what it can do and what it cannot. I would like to just club the common misconceptions and provide it so that the audience of this podcast is getting at least clears those before moving forward. So the first thing that we need to understand is that AI doesn't have a human level understanding. It is just like a trained parrot, which is throwing out words. Of course, it's an extremely good parrot, but it's a parrot. So it doesn't know what it is speaking, why it is speaking. The way these tools function is that they just take the text that you give, they break it into tokens, and then they predict the next word, which is most probably going to be fitting into that language. So you need to understand that although the answer given by ChatGPT might look like it is understanding the things that it is saying, but that's not true. So you should keep this always on the back of your mind. And that is why always human oversight is important, because as I always tell my colleagues that AI cannot replace human expertise and experience, because we have a different worldview about everything, and which is shaped by our education, our experience, our life, whatever we have understood and learned. And we have a proper context of the things. But AI, the context of AI is limited to only the data that it's trained on. Then the second thing is that is trained on data which is created historically, and we are aware that our data has a lot of biases built into it because of multiple reasons. And once the AI is trained on the same data, it is very difficult to remove those biases completely. We can say that whatever answer ChatGPT gives might be having a component of that bias, and it might not be completely free. So you need to be aware in the back of your mind that whatever ChatGPT gives to you, you should not accept as the gospel truth. And you should verify it yourselves.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Have you listened to the podcast with Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, and Lex Fridman? It is a fascinating conversation. I'll be linking it in the description.
Sure, for
anyone interested. Really fascinating conversation. And they talk about, obviously, these common misconceptions with AI tools. And they talk about a little bit about the fact that though it may seem like this tool is sentient, it understands what it's saying, there's no level of human understanding to it. And it's, as you said, probability. The next word is based on the probability of the fact that this is the most likely word that would be in a sentence. And it is crazy to think that it isn't aware of what it's spitting out. But then they talk a little bit about the future, the next GPT models. They speculate getting to potentially GPT-10 in the next 10, 15 years and what that model would look like, and whether there would be some level of human understanding. Obviously, at the moment, there isn't, but it's really exciting to think of. So this podcast that we're putting out now, in 6 months' time, might be completely outdated, and we might have to do a new one.
Completely.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. The things are moving very fast, and sometimes I also get a feeling of fear of missing out. And so it's really difficult to get updated, but we have to do it. There's no other way. This is how I see it.
Yeah, for sure. And it is obviously important to use AI effectively and responsibly. So I think we should just put out a little disclaimer before we get into our top tips and tricks for prompts, just about using AI effectively and responsibly. And I think it's especially important to say this in a healthcare setting where patient data is being used, because you know what? I've seen some stuff on Reddit about doctors not being aware that they aren't allowed to put in patient information into ChatGPT. They'll put in the patient information, copy and paste it, and then ask ChatGPT about that patient information. And obviously their intent is always good. They don't mean anything malicious by it, but OpenAI is a private company and it hasn't gone through the regulatory requirements that is needed to hold patient information. Just as a quick disclaimer also, doctors out there shouldn't be putting any patient identifiers out onto ChatGPT. But yeah, do you want to talk a bit more about using AI effectively and responsibly, Avnish?
Yeah, so as we said, that once we are clear of the misconceptions, now we know that it's our responsibility to use AI ethically and effectively, because that's just a tool. It's not sentient, and the responsibility and onus lies on us to be able to use it properly. So the first thing is that whenever we are using AI, we need to ensure that our results are accurate and they are reliable and replicable. Because what happens with ChatGPT is that whenever you put a prompt, it gives a response. And then when you put the same prompt again, then the response can be entirely different. So you need to see how your prompt is shaped and how it is designed so that it gives a fairly consistent response every time. Because if it is not accurate or reliable enough, then you cannot put out the information in public domain. You should not. Then, of course, it's our responsibility to mitigate the bias and to ensure that the tools that we use and create are as free of bias and as fair as possible. It is not possible to produce a tool which is 100% free of bias, but still we should try to be as close to it as possible. Then, of course, we should not be having the aim of supplementing human expertise and replacing it, because a lot of studies that I see in the research side are comparing AI to human, which is like not correct, because they won't be acting alone anytime. Whenever you see a performance, it should be between AI plus human versus AI or human alone, because that is the combination that we are looking at, and that is the thing that is going to take us to the next level. And then ethics and privacy. Of course, you mentioned the point about putting patient data in the ChatGPT prompt. I don't know if you have read the news about some Samsung employee putting company confidential information into ChatGPT, and they had to completely ban the employees from using ChatGPT, and they're working on entirely a new tool for themselves. So if we are not aware about these things, and we can create so much damage to our patients, so we should be really aware about it and not put patient data and be responsible about it. So I think education is the only thing that can save you from doing that. And so you should keep learning and educating. And of course, lastly, these tools, as you said, now ChatGPT 3.5, 4 is, and then it will be ChatGPT 10 also in some days. Or I don't say years now, I say days or months, because things are moving so fast.
But so fast.
But these things need to be continuously monitored and they need to be improved. See, no tool is error-free. We will be learning by using this tool, and there will be a lot of pitfalls which need to be corrected in the next model. And when it is deployed, we need to be having a continuous monitoring system. If you have seen, there is a thumbs up and thumbs down thing on the ChatGPT. When it gives the response, you can give either a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So that is something like a feedback, which helps in improving the algorithm and giving you better responses next time. So these all should be part of the responsible AI implementation system.
Yeah. So now that little disclaimer's out of the way, we can get into the real reason for this podcast, which I'm very excited for, which is obviously educating and teaching what an AI prompt actually is and how it works and how to get the most out of your prompt to use a tool like ChatGPT effectively. I say a tool like ChatGPT because it's not just ChatGPT anymore. There's so many new ones that are coming out. And I assume when this podcast goes up live, or even if someone's listening back in a couple of months, there's going to be even more as well. And yeah, we use the word ChatGPT, but interchangeably actually with any AI tool, AI large language model. And so to begin with, Avnish, if anyone's listening and let's say they don't have much experience with an AI tool, let's break down what a prompt is, because for the audience to understand how to actually prompt an AI, we need to break down firstly what a prompt is and how it works, right?
So let's start with the basics, Ash. We have been using this term a lot, prompt and all. So maybe many people in the audience are not aware. So basically, prompt is a specific input or instruction that guides the AI model for desired output. This is the simplest definition. You are giving an instruction to the AI to do something for you. So this is called a prompt. What prompt does? It provides information to the model. It provides context. And then the model uses pre-trained knowledge, means the data that it is trained on. It analyzes your input, it applies its own learning patterns, and then it generates a response based on your prompt. So this is what a prompt is. And that is why we say that clarity and specificity, relevance, all these things are very crucial for a prompt, because you are, in a way, you are putting something into the AI model. And this dictum always holds true that garbage in is garbage out. If you put garbage in, you will get garbage out.
Yeah, for sure. And so if we break down initially, so you obviously a prompt is effectively a, I think I'm the best word. What is a prompt in human talk? Because obviously, I guess it's in instruction. Yeah. It's just a lot deeper than an instruction, because you wouldn't, if you want your friend to help you out with some work or something, you just ask them. Whereas this is, you almost, you're having to act this AI model you're speaking to. You have to assume it has no understanding of anything before you start speaking to it, right?
Yeah, it's a blank slate. It's like a blank slate. And you have to start from scratch each time you open a new window, new chat window in ChatGPT. Whenever you tell a person something to do something, then you give them either open-ended question or a closed-ended question with some constraints. So similarly, prompts can be of two types.
Also, initially, you need to, as the human, it seems so weird to say that, but you need to basically choose what your desired outcome is, right? And you need to break down, before you even write anything into ChatGPT, you need to decide what you want to gain out of ChatGPT. Is it the fact, as you said, is it going to be, you want to brainstorm creative thinking, you want to, an unstructured response, then obviously you do initially an open-ended prompt, or do you want something very specific, like a direct answer to a direct question, then obviously do a closed prompt? I think it begins with firstly you identifying what you want out of the AI model, because if you don't know what you want yourself, then it's not going to know what to give you.
Yeah, correct. Basically, what this is, a developing art, I would say, to craft a prompt. And a lot of people are experimenting and learning new things every day. So there's no fixed structure or something written or something taken from the books about how to design a prompt. But what we will discuss is what are the best practices around structuring a prompt. So basically, if you see, a prompt can consist of four things. It can be instructions for the machine. It can be some questions. It can be a specific input or information which you want to give to the machine. And there can be some examples. So whichever prompt you want to give to the machine will usually be a combination of these. One of the examples can be like, you might be giving a question to the machine and then you might be providing instructions. For example, what is the best way to write a blog? And then you give specific instructions that I want the answer in the form of bullet points, or I want the answer in 200 words. So these will be instructions. So this will become one prompt, which is a combination of question and instructions. Then there can be like instructions with a specific sort of input. Here I would like to introduce the term zero shot or few shot learning. This most people might not be aware of, but it means that you are giving something new information, something entirely new to the AI, some entirely new information which it was not trained on. Suppose I give details about the patient, saying not the specific sensitive patient details, but like a 50-year-old male patient comes to the OPD with fever and vomiting for 3 days. And so what you are giving to the machine, this is input or information which it was not initially trained on. And then you give the instructions that, okay, give me the most suitable line of management, or what lab should I order? So this again becomes a prompt, which doesn't have a question, but it has instructions and input. And lastly, you can have questions with examples. So the AI tool gets a better context of how it has to solve. And there's also a chain of thought prompting in which you give the reasoning to the machine, like how you arrived at the answer. So then the AI can apply the same reasoning and can give answer to your prompt. So this is how you can craft a basic prompt. And there's no fixed rules. You should experiment yourself. But these are the basic things which should be in a prompt.
Yeah. And that's a lot of information to begin with, for someone who might be completely new to the idea of prompting an AI model. And so let's break it down a little bit from what you said just now. Some of the stuff that I would highlight as the most important part is firstly, obviously, context. So you talked about inputting the model with information that it may not have been trained on. Equally, you could, even if it has been trained on specific information, it doesn't harm in terms of inputting that same information again, just so it provides some relevance, some context into what your chat is going to be about. And then following that relevant context, you said obviously using examples or using a template. So I think let's just get into the tips and tricks now. So having initially given that context to the listeners around the different types of prompting tools available in your arsenal, let's now break down the best tips and tricks that we've used ourselves and what we found useful ourselves. And so let's say I've opened a new window. What's the first step for creating a perfect prompt?
One of the first tips that I would like to give is that avoid being generic. Always be specific, provide context, use the different components that we mentioned to shape your prompt so that the machine gives you a proper answer. Another tip can be like assign a role to the, you tell it to act like a lawyer, or you tell it to act like a doctor, or you tell it to act like someone who has experience of writing a blog for 10 years on this topic. So then what happens is, because I told you ChatGPT, every new chat window is a blank slate and you can design and shape it the way you want. What benefit you derive by assigning a role is that it gets a good context about what you are wanting it to do. And so it limits the information that it has digested to that domain, and it gives a domain specific answer. Then, of course, you need to be specific, provide details, then try to be as concise as possible, as detailed as possible. And then you can also use ChatGPT to make your prompt concise. So you just craft the prompt and then tell ChatGPT to make it concise and shape it in a better way. And then again, of course, try giving a few examples, which we talked like a few short or zero short learning. Try to give it some information. Try to give it some examples of the output that you want. So I think these are some tips and tricks which even I have found useful in my experimentation with ChatGPT. And I would like to know some of the tricks that even you know about, Ash. So I think that would add on to the things that I've said.
Yeah, for sure. I think specifically what you said there, what has just leaped out at me is firstly the importance of specificity in AI prompts. And so initially giving it context, as we've mentioned, but breaking down the specific prompt and literally to a T, instructing it as if it is a five-year-old baby, giving it a full set of lists of directions and instructions. And so if we go back to the blog idea you mentioned, Avnisha, let's say a bad AI prompt would be write me a blog. That the reason that's bad is obviously we haven't provided any context. It's very generic, very open-ended. It's just not a very high-quality prompt. Instead, what I would do is I would firstly initially copy and paste a blog post that I'd previously written into the ChatGPT and say, hi AI, I'm writing a blog post. Here is an example of the kind of blog post that I would like to write. So it has that on that's the kind of structure I want to go with. And then I ask it, please, can you act as an expert copywriter with 30 years of experience in writing blog posts? And so now I've instructed it to act as an expert copywriter. So it has those two things in mind. The fact that I want a specific structure to my blog, and also now it is taking on the role as an expert copywriter. And then I will give it a detailed structure on the topic that I want the blog post to be written on. I'll break down specifically each subtitle of each section, give some context around each section, break down in note form what I want each section to be about. And so again, I'm not giving a very generic response. I'll give it a very detailed approach to what I want each section of the blog post to be about. And then at the very end, I'll say, before you start writing, would you like to clarify anything with me? Are there any questions that you may have? Once it's got that clarification from me as well, in terms of if it has any questions, I answer them and it gives me an even better response. That's worked really well for me, actually. Yeah. So how about yourself? Anything?
Yeah, no, tips and tricks there? Yeah, that's one of the good ways to go about. Just for the benefit of the audience, I would like to say that even if you get a sort of a perfect response from ChatGPT, just make sure not to copy paste it. Go through it in detail. Try to verify what it has said and put your flavor, put your inputs. Edit it as much as possible. You can even use ChatGPT for further conversations around the post that it has given, maybe to change the tone, maybe to write it in a better way, or maybe sometimes I add that change the tone to casual, make it more friendly. Sometimes I ask it to summarize things. It is a great summarizing tool. One of the other ways of writing a blog I saw is that you can use ChatGPT for idea generation and brainstorming. So suppose you are not sure about what blog you want to write and you are starting from a blank page. So just go to ChatGPT and ask the word, suggest me 10 topics about this theme. And then you can further brainstorm the headings, the subheadings, the outline. So one of the ways is to give a detailed prompt and then get an output from ChatGPT and then edit it. While one of the other ways is to go for like a building block approach and go step by step brainstorming with ChatGPT at your side, just like an intern or a mentor. So I think that those are the two approaches I have commonly used.
And if I just add to that as well, I think a lot of people are hesitant about using complex multi-step instructions as well in one single prompt and complex queries, because it's not how you would normally refer to a human like that. You'd have a conversation one step at a time, one instruction at a time. So don't be afraid to actually give multiple different steps, multiple different instructions in one singular prompt, because it can handle it. And it will actually make the answer it generates a lot more accurate and a lot more aligned to what you want, the fact that you've prompted it in multiple different steps and multiple different ways. And yeah, so Avnish, I think it will be great to talk about some tips and tricks now that we've both found, both being in content creation firstly. So some ways that you found how it helps you make your list, for example, LinkedIn posts. I know you create some amazing thought-provoking LinkedIn posts.
As I said, Ash, I never start with a blank page when I'm writing. So I always use ChatGPT to brainstorm. Suppose I'm getting most of my ideas come in the shower. When I'm showering, that is the time when I just try to remember it, and then I come to ChatGPT. And I start brainstorming that, okay, I want to write something about this. Give me 10 ideas. And then I try to keep refining. I try to keep reasoning with AI. And then once I reach an outline structure, then I start writing, filling in the headings, the subheadings, and then editing it, paraphrasing it. And finally, once I'm done, I usually try to add a bit of my flavor towards the end, like a call to action or something. And then I use a relevant picture. You can even generate images from tools like Midjourney, and then you can create a very compelling post nowadays on social media. It's really easy after these tools like ChatGPT have come up.
Definitely, it's made content creation a lot easier. With me, instead of in the shower, my thoughts, my ideas come at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to sleep, which is probably the worst time because I'm tired. But actually, the next morning, I'll write those down on paper and then start working on that alongside GPT. And it's almost like my personal system and personal tutor. And now these AI tools are in mainstream media. It is up to us to be using it as a synergy, a mutual relationship where we're getting the most out of it, but obviously just not getting it to do everything. We still need to give it our own little sprinkle, our own personality into what it's producing. So with me, content creation it's consumed my life with producing the podcast. And I've started producing these short clips on TikTok and Instagram. And those require a lot more scripting, a lot more thought behind what I want to say to a camera and then uploading that. And the way I get GPT to help me is actually I will think of the idea around a specific podcast. And then if there's a certain segment of the podcast I find interesting, I'll copy and paste the transcript into GPT. And tell it the idea I have and if it can help me generate a script around the idea and around that segment of the podcast. And I find that extremely useful. And it'll break down for me to a T, like 0 to 10 seconds, say this, 20 to 30 seconds, say this. And it'll tell me. And obviously, it's not going to be 100% accurate, but it's up to me to then take the bits I like out of that prompt and incorporate that with my own personality into the post. And so there's so many different ways. And it is exciting. Let's break down some other ways of niche.
So let me share one other use case which I myself use ChatGPT for. So I had to write an annual review for an online community. Like they review all the papers in AI published on PubMed for the last year. And there were 252 publications. So I had to read all the abstracts and then I had to create a review out of it. So how I used ChatGPT was I put in the abstract and I asked ChatGPT to summarize it in 3 or 4 lines. And this is how I was able to summarize all the abstracts, and I was able to get the crux, get the landscape of things, and then I could write the review in very short amount of time. Of course, I would not suggest to use this in academic writing for publications and peer-reviewed stuff. But for places like blogs or online articles or for LinkedIn or for some community, you can always use these methods to shorten your time. And I always give the analogy of intern. So you can consider ChatGPT your intern, and it has become easier to be a solopreneur in content right now. And I think it will get more easier with time as these tools improve in maturity. So I'm looking forward to it. So really, there are a lot of use cases, and each person you talk to will have their own use case, how they use ChatGPT.
The majority of the demographic that listen to this podcast will be a health professional or someone interested in healthcare, obviously. And so I think let's break down some prompts that health professionals can use or medical students. So I know I sent you my blog that I'm working on, which will come out soon. So anyone listening now, stay tuned for that. It's a blog around medical education, and I've written 5 templates which all medical students should be using to aid their studies and revision. And so the first way I found is obviously AI can help you write your flashcards. And so a lot of students, when they're creating flashcards for revision, they'll spend more than half the time actually learning the flashcards. It'll be on writing the flashcards. And so you can get AI to do this. And so I've written a very detailed, perfect response. Not perfect, obviously. No prompt is going to be perfect. But in my view, because I've spent so many hours on it, I'd like to call it perfect. But I've written a prompt up which will generate you Anki-style flashcards. You just input the topic you would like it to make you flashcards on, and it will generate you Anki flashcards which are aligned to the medical school curriculum, which is really great. And additionally, as med students, we have to test ourselves with questions. Obviously, active recall is a big way that we learn, and we can also get ChatGPT to write us up questions, so single best answer style questions. I've written a prompt as well, which will be in the blog, where ChatGPT can generate you an examination style question. So UK medical students who have finished all the questions on PassMed, for example, or another question bank, you don't need to make your own. Instead, you can go to ChatGPT and it will make you pretty much like for like questions similar to the questions you'll get in your medical school exams. And then additionally in the blog as well, generating patient cases. So a lot of the times at medical school, you have case-based discussions with your supervisor and talk about patient cases, break down those patient cases to talk about the management of that patient, how we get to the diagnosis, etc. And ChatGPT is a great tool for learning and breaking down these patient cases in a unidirectional manner. So it will generate a patient case completely from scratch. And then slowly by slowly, it will ask you some questions and say, what are your differential diagnoses? You'll type it in, what your differential diagnosis may be. And then it will reveal slowly the next step of what the diagnosis is, the management plan, etc. And so that's an amazing way I found as a med student that I've been using ChatGPT. Additionally, as you said, also just simplifying the explanations, it's amazing that. So if there's ever a big text of content in my textbook and it's not processing it because it's written so scientifically, I'll just copy and paste it into ChatGPT, get it to simplify it, and it does an amazing explanation for me. So those are some of the ways that I, as a medical student, have found it beneficial. And Avni, maybe you can talk from your point of view as a doctor, how you found it beneficial.
So to add to your point of like assisting medical students, so I would like to call ChatGPT and tools like it like study buddy. So
yeah,
they act like your buddy on helping you to grasp the information and improve your medical knowledge. I still remember times when I used to spend entire week building flashcards for a chapter.
It takes forever, honestly, isn't it?
It looks so easy now, and it has become so standardized with the use of tools like ChatGPT that you can make standard flashcards for all the chapters, and you can customize it depending on yourself. Like you can tell ChatGPT, okay, don't include this, include that. You can give some examples of flashcards, and then you can get customized flashcards according to you. And then about simplifying explanations, of course, one of the things, I don't know if you have tried, but you can tell ChatGPT to simplify to a 6th grade level or 8th grade level or 12th grade level. So that is an additional layer of customization which you can do for simplification. But that is amazing, which I find. Regarding doctors, I think one of the main points where it can help is like in the patient care side, because sometimes when I am at the bedside of a patient and it's middle of the night mostly when you face problems in healthcare and you don't have access to a specialist and you have a patient in front of you and you want an immediate first advice. So what you can do is the ChatGPT can act like your curbside consultant. And you can tell ChatGPT, please assume the role of a nephrologist or a cardiologist. And I am an emergency medicine physician and I have a patient of so-and-so. And then I can ask some questions. Of course, I would say that don't treat it as a gospel truth again. But being medical professionals, we can easily make out if the information is correct or it is wrong. I would not suggest patients to do it by themselves. But of course, it can help us in time of need or where help is immediately not available. It can even be life-saving for the patient. And once you have the initial response from ChatGPT, you can even dive deeper. You can ask what labs I can order, is there any drug interaction which you suspect in the drugs that I am prescribing? How should I approach this patient? And of course, other than this, you can also use it to craft your difficult conversations. Because I have worked in palliative care and I know that it's very difficult sometimes to initiate the conversation and take it on the right path. So you can tell ChatGPT the context and tell the situation, and then you can ask for like suggestions like how I should break the bad news or how I should answer the patient's questions and what are the things that I should take care of. And then, of course, you can add your judgment and wisdom to it. And then you can be a better doctor. This is how I see things helping for doctors.
Yeah. I mean, for every industry, the possibilities are pretty much endless because all it is doing is just taking your creativity to the next level. So you input your own creativity and it will just fine tune that and collate your thoughts and then spit out something that is obviously of value to you. And yeah, I think we've spoken a lot of niche, just in general, we've just had a little conversation about the ways we've been using it, the tips and tricks that we find helpful or useful. So I think it's best just to summarize everything back.
Instead of tips, maybe I can highlight some of the mistakes which we make. So they will be like tips as well and learning points. One of the first mistakes that we do when we are using ChatGPT is that we are trying to get facts. If you ask ChatGPT, what is the capital of United States of America? It's not Google. It will not give you a coherent response. And then maybe you will have to give examples to it and use few short learnings, and then you will get correct facts. So why use it to get facts? You can always use tools like Google and all to get facts. Use ChatGPT for ideas, inspiration, remixing your existing information. And for the facts, you can still go for the old-fashioned Google way. Then one of the mistakes is that people use generic tone. Give me a blog post on Dash, but that is like not the way how you should prompt ChatGPT. As we discussed, you should have a proper structure of prompt. You should give it the details. You should give it the context, the tone, the style, the adjectives, the examples, the input. And then you should ask your question or give it the instruction. So your quality of output will improve many times. Then, of course, giving up too soon. You write ChatGPT for 2 days and then suddenly you realize that I'm not able to get what I want. And then you give up. Have a bit of patience. Be persistent. You should be not giving up too soon. You can use your previous conversations or previous prompts which you gave to get output for the next prompt. So you should use this to your advantage. You should try to build it as a conversation instead of a single prompt, and that can help you to get better output. Having said this, you should also remember that the session should not be too long. If you must have read about the news that Bing Chat has limited the responses session to 20, that is because after a certain point of time, these models start hallucinating and they start mixing up information, jumbling it, and then they start giving out garbage. So you should always try to keep a session not too short and not too long. So you should be aware about the sweet spot in between too long and too short to get proper results.
Yeah, just to tell a funny story, actually, I was going crazy because it was a couple of weeks ago where I was just asking ChatGPT just to help me summarize one of the podcast episodes, and so I could put it as the description for the Spotify. And I'd written what I thought, and I just wanted it to refine it to make it just sound a bit better, so it flows a bit better, reads a bit better. And then it just started telling me a story about just something so random. I was thinking to myself, this has nothing to do with what I'm speaking about right now. And it just started hallucinating and giving me this random story about this doctor and this trip that this doctor went on to pick up the daughter from school and stuff like this. And I was just thinking, what's happening there? And then I closed the session, started a new chat, and then just gave it the exact same prompt, and then it gave me a better result. And so, yeah, I think that's very important. Definitely don't give it. Make sure that if the ChatGPT tool just starts hallucinating, just start a new chat straight away.
So talking about pitfalls-ish, I think I would like to add a few more. Whenever you are asking ChatGPT for citations, it doesn't give the correct citations. You should be aware about it because it is trained only on data till 2021. And in that also, it doesn't give correct citations. I've tried a bit of things myself. And I think Bing Chat is better at giving proper references because it is connected to the internet. But ChatGPT is still not so good. Then, of course, as I told you, bias, and you mentioned hallucinations. And lastly, there is something called as prompt hacking. which is you can still get to get ChatGPT to do some things which it refuses to do. You can just tweak it a bit, and then you can break the firewall. So I think that is also one of the areas which we should be aware. Of course, we should use it ethically. We should not use it to get unethical things done. But that is also a way around some things to get good responses.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, Avnish, it's been great having you. I think we've covered so much, honestly. There's, from the start, it's coming up to an hour of this conversation. We've covered so much. And obviously this topic in itself is so broad that we just have literally scratched the surface. So I think if people are listening out there and you want us to create a series on this, I think it would be super interesting, Avnish. Something we could maybe do.
Definitely.
And so yeah, if the demand's there, just request in the comments, just say you really enjoyed this episode and you're interested in learning more. Maybe me, myself and Avnish can plan a series for you guys. Yeah, so as always, just make sure you hit the follow button and give the episode a like rating. So Avnish, before we conclude, what would be your top tips and tricks then? Top advice for anyone just starting to prompt an AI? Obviously, being patient is a massive thing that I've learned through my journey. It's going to be a process, like learning any new task or any new hobby. It's going to take time practicing and then learning what works, learning what doesn't, and then refining that. This is the exact same. So that would probably be my top tip. Could you maybe give some top tips as well?
Yeah, so my advice would be that, as you said, mastering ChatGPT is all about patience, persistent, and playing around, tweaking your prompts, experimenting. And believe me, it's a powerful tool, but it's not perfect. And it's up to you to fine-tune its output and use it to your advantage. So just remember to give enough context. Be direct, like double-check the results. Don't take the first output. And by doing all this, you will enhance the quality of your ChatGPT responses, rest assured. And ultimately, your work will be improved. And lastly, now please don't input patient-sensitive information. I think that is the message that I would leave health professionals with. It's good to be excited, but then you need to learn about the tool and use it properly.
For sure. And secondly, obviously, you can get ChatGPT to help you with certain tasks, but don't just copy and paste what it's giving you and using that as your own work. I think it's great to have it as a creative outlet to run through some ideas, run through what you maybe generated and what you have created and get it to refine it. But in terms of creating something from scratch using solely ChatGPT and publishing it as your own work, that we definitely advise against that, Avnish.
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree with you, Ash. And I think we discussed a lot of things, and I think still a lot of things remain undiscussed. So if the audience likes a particular area to be discussed more, I would be really happy to come again, and then we can have a chat around that specific area of ChatGPT, because this is a very huge topic and really covering everything in one episode is difficult. But I hope the audience will like our attempt to do so, because this is a very essential thing right now. It's no more an option. You have to learn it, and you have to learn it the correct way, and you have to get started. So really, I enjoyed this conversation, and I really learned a lot myself, and really looking forward to using ChatGPT in a better way starting right away.
For sure. Yeah, Avnish, great having you. And for anyone listening, there will be a blog post out coming soon. I've written myself about my top 5 AI prompts that have helped me through medical school. And I'll give you some context just in terms of writing some questions, some single best answer style questions, preparing me for my medical school exams, some generating some flashcards, generating patient cases, which I can learn through. Also, I wrote a systematic review on obsessive compulsive disorder last year, and it has been great in summarizing that and helping me write my abstract as well, which has been great. And I recently got an abstract published, a digital solution to aid pediatric asthma patients better with their asthma action plan, and ChatGPT helped me to write it, and it's now been published, and I'm due to present that next week, which is really exciting as well. And so, yeah, so many different use cases, so many different applications. And so stay tuned for the blog. And yeah, if you have any specific area that you want more help in or want me, myself and Avnish to discuss, feel free to reach out. So yeah, Avnish, great having you again.
Thank you, Ash. I really enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to your blog post. Best wishes.
Thank you.